Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all the freaks in Sector 43. Good morning to the angel hair pasta kings of Quadrant Zulu. Good morning to all those folks out there in the depths of space. Lonely and drifting and falling and failing and expecting the world to be a buttercup princess, but instead she's a fetid old whore. It is June the 22nd, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc, right around 8:15 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, and here are your ZeroHedge.com page one headlines. Existing home sales unexpectedly rose in May as prices tumble most since 2011. Lowest inventory level for any May in data back to 1999, blimp doc. Snopes self-immolates taking a shot at Musk, huh? Modi arrives in the U.S., a reality check? In India, this event is being heralded as the event of the century. Unleashing the walrus, Musk Zuckerberg agreed a cage match in Vegas Octagon. I don't think that's going to happen. Just remember the first rule of Billionaire Fight Club is you don't talk about Billionaire Fight Club. I'm thinking they're heading to Antarctica safe zone soon. International cracks. Morgan Stanley raises Tesla price target to $250 while downgrading stock to equal weight. We change our rating to equal weight from overweight, given a relatively full valuation and a more balanced risk reward, and highlight key drivers and investor debates for the stock at this level. The number of Americans filing for first-time jobless benefits hits highest since October 2021, Bo Blimp Doc, but continuing claims drift lower. Global stocks slump for fourth day after central bank rate hike barrage. Recession risks are arguably higher if rates are higher for longer. But risk assets are not reflecting that. Markets are reassessing whether further risk taking is justified after the year-to-date rally. Yeah. It's going to be worse, my friends. Jeffrey Epstein offered to introduce Jess Staley to senior UK ministers J.P. Morgan. I've set you up and Peter to meet in Davos with Darlene. Bank of England shocks markets with surprise 50 basis point rate hike in crusade against red hot inflation. Bringing inflation down is our absolute priority. The MPC will do what is necessary to return inflation to the 2% target. Are chemical stocks the canary in the coal mine? SNB hikes 25 basis points. Norges Bank hikes 50, huh? West Bank settlers rampage in Palestinian villages, killing one and injuring dozens. German tabloid giant denies reports it replaced editors with artificial intelligence. Durham goes off on FBI-CIA shift during Wednesday's monkey show, testimony, right? Mea culpa. UK's David Cameron admits to mistake in pandemic readiness. Wearing shirts saying there are only two genders, not protected speech, rules Obama-appointed judge. Watch IMF managing director says we are working hard on a global central bank digital currency. We will price your urine in digital currency. We will price aborted babies in digital currency. We will stick aborted babies in taco meat and you'll use digital currency to buy the tacos. You'll get the chili. You'll get your protein cube. It'll be cricket flour and asbestos and metal shavings and aborted babies and tumors. And, you know, you'll use a central bank digital currency to get a little. And these are your Zero Hedge headlines as of 8:15 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Scompton, Utah. Do with it as you wilt. You know what I'm saying? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The open hole of hell has meth mouth. I was awake in bed last night. I looked out the window up towards the stars, all the way to the end of infinity. In the blackness, out there in space, some person was looking back at me. Do they care? Do they love me? Am I Gwyneth Paltrow? Is this Sliding Doors? In the blackness, there are strangers with red eyes and hands that are greasy and a strong hunger, and they look back at us. And they are jealous. In the depths of space, there are creatures. You could be camping with your family, staring up at the sky. And you stare up at the sky at Asa Minor and Grimbo 76. And the North Star, and the Dog Star, and the OnStar. You look at those flickering lights in the distance, and you say to yourself, is there somebody out there? But out there, they're looking back at you, shithead. And they got a gamma ray telescope, and a quantum degausser device, and a laser emulator, and with all this tech, they can watch you real time. And they're watching you, and your wife, and your beer, and your cats, and your family. In the darkness and the blackness of night, as their hands shake and their eyes flicker. And they're just waiting to find out when the time comes. That's right, the universe is crazy. You heard it here first. So, there's been a lot of what I can only call, as of right now, PSYOP noise about look at this video. Here's some video, Dan, of tanks rolling into Kansas City. And first and foremost, I try to point out that those are self-propelled 155mm artillery. And they don't have the speed, agility, armor, tracks, or the ability to properly fire on the move to remotely call them tanks. I get that you want to call Bradley Fighting Vehicle a tank. You probably see a Striker and you say tank. But believe me, Heemeyer's monstrosity is closer to being a tank than all the fucking above. The bottom line is, there's a lot of video and pictures floating around right now, kind of like the same that was going on 3 years ago, back in April, May, June 2020 Boblimpdoc. Lot of PSYOP garbage. You know, at the time, I heard machine gun fire, and I commented in the Little Saigon report about it. But then, after a few weeks, I realized something. That I remember, when I was in the Army, we had PSYOP Hummers with pretty good speaker systems, and they could probably roll around a neighborhood and make you think there's machine gun fire. And you can sprinkle some brass casings, and you can spread the fear. So there's a lot of pictures and videos and garbage out there. But the real question is there anything to it? And I would ask you, as a, you know, potential Sovietologist, what do you think they want you to be concerned about? I mean, why would they put this out there? I have my own theory that I have beat like a dead horse, but you might have your own theories, really. And then here's another possibility. You remember the toilet paper shortage? There's no toilet paper. They're all out of toilet paper. Oh my God, we're all gonna be using the seashell bullshit. And that turned out to be crap. And frankly, the periodic episodic eruption of coin shortages is sort of a reminder of how much bullshit that is. And at the time, I think I even said this could be a boy who cried wolf PSYOP. The purpose is really quite simple, to sort of condition people to be prepared for shortages. Because when the real shortages hit, this buys you a couple weeks of people saying, oh, it's fake, it's not real, don't worry about it, it's not a thing. Remember the toilet paper? So what if the garbage from the spring of 2020 was more or less the head fake, kind of like the boy who cried wolf with the whole toilet paper shortage? And what if they are moving equipment? Because understand, when I've got commentators who get a million views calling self-propelled artillery tanks, it's truly the case they don't care about the quality of representation, and it might even be the case they want dumbasses talking about it at this point. It could be, you never know. Me personally, as of right now, I would say it's bullshit. But here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The only thing cheaper than running a military vehicle around town is running video of it. The only thing cheaper, you know, than running tanks around town is running video of self-propelled artillery, because people are dumbasses. Dr. Freckles. Doesn't he tell us the things we need to hear, my brothers and sisters? Next topic. Another quote from Dr. Freckles. Dr. Freckles is the Mark Twain of our David Hasselhoff. I'm not going to spend any time on that. You can deconstruct David Hasselhoff, Mark Twain, and Dr. Freckles' namesake as said on your own. And this next one is actually a topic if you've listened to my podcast, we've covered this one before. And I'm not even sure this is an original Dr. Freckles. Like, Dr. Freckles might have said this a different way in other podcasts, but let's just read the quote anyways. "You don't want to be a biblical prophet. It's a lot of Hansel and Gretel type being fed to tigers bullshit. You don't want to be a biblical prophet, okay? You might end up in an oven. You might end up in a pit. You might end up in the sea being eaten by giant whales. You don't really want to be a prophet." "Everyone hates you that used to be your friend. Yes, you don't want to be a biblical prophet." And we've discussed this before. You should do your own research, Old and New Testament, but I think it's fair to say the path of a prophet is pretty stony and not at all easy. I mean, when you break it down, when King Solomon asked for wisdom, in a lot of ways he was asking to be a prophet. And it's kind of like, you just got to be careful what you ask for. I'm not saying it's not a good thing, it's a necessary thing. Arguably, the Word, as we understand the Word, the Bible, is in part alive because of these people that risked their own lives to be against the grain. In many cases, they pissed everybody off. Let's just get that out of the way. They simply pissed off most of the people around them. And it is, in many ways, a miracle that many of these prophets lived as long as they did and were able to have the impact they had. And let us underline the word miracle. Because, yeah, as jaded as I am, as twisted as I am, I have faith in God. I have faith he sacrificed his only son to save the world. I have faith there are miracles. Yes. Do they happen every day? Do they happen in gigantic ways all the time? Sometimes they're small. Sometimes they are just so small they would go unnoticed in a world like this one. But it is a miracle that most of these prophets lived as long as they did and survived the way that they survived. Next topic. Next topic. Oh boy. Yeah. So I'm going to give you some truth about the job market right now, understanding that I am the most jaded, the most disgruntled, the most discouraged, the most impossible to count unless I get a job and then they count me 3 times. I am a non-person to the statisticians at the BLS and FRED, you know, the Federal Reserve people. So understand who I am. I'm a hobo. I am 3 degrees removed from being in the streets. That is exactly who I am. But I'm going to give you my perspective on the job market right now as a burnt out middle-aged code monkey, and then you can think on it yourself. Here's online job engine user number one. Here's the thought in their head. Well, there's a lot of great jobs in New York and New Jersey. Too bad I'm in Scump in Utah. And here's online job engine user number two. A lot of great jobs in Utah. Too bad I'm in New York. And what's funny is that this reminds me of dating sites. Like, I'm not saying that online dating doesn't work, although you need to be careful, because I've had the misfortune of seeing a little bit behind the curtain when it comes to that bullshit. And you should be fucking careful. But that being said, you go on an online dating site, especially the ones you pay money for, and in the first day, somebody takes a bite. this beautiful woman, this handsome man, some whatever with respect to whatever gender issues you have, and they're telling you how much they love you and they want to be with you and they can't believe how cool you are. However, it's too bad that you live so far away. When people look at like Monster.com or Indeed or any of these job sites, and they look at those job listings and they say to themselves, wow, these look like great jobs, but not remote and they're thousands of miles away, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There's a person at that location looking at the same fucking site and they're seeing the same fucking jobs, and those jobs are where you live. And I cannot prove this. This is intuitive. This is based upon my experience. I'm just an old fucking hobo. But do I think that these job engines and these job search companies have a lot of corruption? I would say they're equally corrupt to all the real estate companies. And I would add in healthcare. They're probably about the same level of corruption. And so you take it however you want to. You want to believe there's a bazillion jobs if only you lived in New Jersey. I'm going to give you a piece of fucking advice. Don't move to New Jersey. Don't. But I'll interview Dan. Yeah, you'll interview maybe. You know, you'll interview. Dan, but I just think you're way too cynical. And it's like, ugh, you don't know cynical, buddy. You have no idea. So today's one of those days when I want to build a Dyson hot rod. I want to coast through the universe in my solar system-sized starship at a slow clip of 20% the speed of light. The gravitational wake from my speedster will bring destruction to so many tiny, petty, irrelevant civilizations. Imagine the Star Cruiser meetups at the end of time. The Dark Vorg Gruder will ride into combat with his billion-mile-long extra-class MiG-seater, powered by a captured black hole. The entire Durgus knot steers through the cosmos, breaking and causing havoc to lesser folk who decided not to build Dyson hot rods. And then something happened. Life is not validated, promised, pure. Eternal life is all these things, but life on planet Bo Blimp Doc, it's grimy and scummy and putrid and horrifying and filled with a disproportionate number of crap heads. So I found out I need to find a new place to live, and it's not because of any personality conflict or issue. It's simple, simple, everyday reality. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Sometimes reality happens. If you've read my scribbled words or listened to my frenzied podcasts, you may have gotten the idea that I believe some difficult times are ahead that might be, for all intents and purposes, unprecedented, perhaps even biblical. I'm not a prophet, so I can't say much more than this. What I can say is that it's hard for people to find some random space for a middle-aged dude, And it's hard at this point in human history to find a lifeboat welcoming of a curmudgeonly old pothead who drinks beer, but we'll walk your dogs. I will walk dogs and dog sit. This is something I have testimony concerning. Just ask for a reference. I'm going to miss Boomer. Yeah, I'm going to miss Boomer. In the strangest way, this mutt has been my psychotherapist these last couple years. I always had this fantasy of what if, and the vision of some ranch or piece of land in the mountains where me and my friends and the dogs would live. I always dreamed of that magical reprieve you're supposed to get at middle age, you know, in a Disney movie, if you're willing to take a stroll down the storm drain towards where the light ends. Another world. In this magical tube world, you take your sacred pup and tap into his scrombozoid ways. Boomer's mind tunnel technology, known only to dogs, will allow us to transport our poop smells between dimensions. And finally, Boomer and I will end up ruling the solar system. But what then? What's next? If we could dance like kings, Boomer and I, cosmic stirf realm herders, finding time drifters and dimensional madmen. I dwell with those masters of asteroid gold who become the onto lords of Delvic 88332. And those people have no fucking sense of humor. Boomer and I will convert the solar mass of our solar system into a super starship, not a Dyson sphere, but instead a Dyson Hot Rod X-Ray Tango 900, a super ship billions of miles long, a super ship stretching from rim to edge, in which the sun is now a power plant and a warp engine, and who knows, maybe we capture a pulsar to use as a cannon and a black hole as an improved warp drive. And maybe Boomer and I are listening to Chicago on random as we coast to the edge of the cosmos. Turning on our hyper time drive, traveling 4 trillion times the speed of light. At the edge of time, we encounter angels, and they say the following. A time of hurried expectation is upon us, child. A time of hurried expectation is upon us, child. Get your pack ready. Get ready to walk. And so I'm worried about not having a place to live in a couple weeks, and this is true. By the end of August. By the end of August, I will need a place to live, or I will be, backpacking around Utah until something happens. And before I go too far down the road of feel sorry for me, understand, I knew that this would always potentially happen. I didn't truly think reality would stay stuck together as long as it has, but I always knew that there was a time limit, that it wasn't going to be the case that I could sojourn here for more than a couple years, and that's just the way it is. It's like I said, there's no issue with the people here. You know, God bless them for giving me the time I've had, and God bless them for giving me a couple months to figure out where I go next. And as far as where I go next, who the fuck knows? Could I stay here in Utah? Maybe. Could I end up in Colorado? Maybe. Could I end up in some other corner of the planet? Maybe. I think there's a lot of maybes and unknowns. So I've got a lot of work to do in coming up with a plan. And like I said, worst case scenario, I'm just hiking across the country. I've got a Bible, I've got some clothes to wear, I have some food. And that's what will end up being the case. That is the worst case scenario. Do I think it's awesome? Am I so excited about that scenario? Not really. Not really, but I mean, it's like I said. Is it possible bad things happen because of this? Sure. bad things are happening all over. Do I wish there were a way out? Yeah. And this is where I scream at God and say, "Dear Lord, show me a way out." And if there is silence, it is not for the lack of God's love. No. There is silence because of the anger I show in summoning God in such a way. I can listen when I'm ready to hear. I can pray when I'm ready to obey. I can forgive when I'm ready to love. But this does little to change the trajectory of Boomer and myself and our notional stellar-sized starship capable of creating 3 parsec wakes that end up swamping every class Boblimptok civilization. And we were meant to be the final cast men, the real girders. We would and could tower over the midget men of the desolate plain. I kept a bus shirg, Hugin Priestess, whose boovula is in grease tiffied, and her own bustiness would shine and wiggle as a trophy to all Targ Zerg Gregan and other stone torter and other woodland freaks. The simple truth is this. In a few weeks, I will be homeless through no fault of my own or the friend I rent a room from. It is simple reality. I have people living out of cars I know right now. People who are barely making it. That's reality too. You know, if I fit better, if I was able to fit and play pretend better, I'd probably be at Redmond right now, writing shitty code for some fucking blue-carded freak. You know? Blue badge. I don't fit. And that's just also true. I don't fit. And I would say if you can help, but... And I know most would say I wish I could, and that's the truth too. But it's funny, I do sense an angel telling me, "Worry not, my son. This is a hurried time of expectation." And maybe needing a place to stay by late August, as crazy as it sounds, might mean something too. But now I sound loopy because I need a place to live. So on a serious note, you can send an email to planetarystatusreport@gmail.com if you have any interesting ideas for how a podcasting hobo whose current income ain't that great. If you got crazy ideas, if the idea is, you know, figure out how to live out of your backpack, I've already got that idea. I've been more or less living under that cloud for several years now. It's a situation I've kind of just come to accept. And you do what you got to do. I mean, you want me to tell you and pretend and just play pretend and say, "Oh, it's just so easy thinking about a situation where I could be in the streets." No. Do I think it's cool to be in the streets? No. Do I think we should live in a communist country where everybody gets their own room? No. However, we currently live in a communist country for a lot of people in terms of shit that gets produced that essentially gets stolen from one person and given to another. We currently do live there. So if you were to say, "Well, that, damn, it's just, it is what it is." No, we live on the Death Star. And if I were more willing to play by the rules on the Death Star, I would have all the gumbo meat and all the video games and all the hookers and all the cocaine I would ever really probably need or want. And I just can't turn that part of my brain off that looks at all this and sees anything but decay, anything but failure, anything but sickness. Really, the caucus race, people chasing their tails, people on treadmills that do nothing, nothing. Maybe the treadmill's connected to a machine that beats a puppy. And that's probably it. And that's your great accomplishment for the day. You don't know it because the Milgram experiment is kind of half-assed bullshit. And the reality is they hide all the sound and all the blood and all the crookedness from you, motherfucker. So you could push a button all day and see a happy face. You know, and maybe a bird flies by and farts chocolate mist in your eye. And it would not matter that every time you push that button, some town in Syria gets vaporized. Yeah. Get real, Milgram. They hide the screen. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm not going to spend the next couple months complaining about it. I will probably bring it up at the end of a podcast the same way I talk about donations. But I also know that a lot of people are just getting by right now, despite all the propaganda, despite all the gaslighted mixed messaging. I mean, if you read some of these Zero Hedge headlines, you get the impression that things are both good and bad at the same time. And that's generally always been true. But it's not very useful in any macro context as far as, like, what happens next. And I'll be honest with you, since 2021, I kind of expected it to be like this. Especially right around before everything just sort of starts falling apart. This type of situation. And I also never expected to be able to, you know, stay here quite so long. It's been pretty nice. Yeah, I'll miss Boomer. I'll miss the dogs. I'll miss the folks here. They're good people. If I have to leave Utah, I'll miss this part of Utah. A lot of things people are going to miss. And if I wanted to play pretend, I could say I'm the only refugee on planet Earth right now, but that's not technically true. And people could say, it's a valid argument, why don't you just play the game? That's a valid argument. You can come, Dan, it's always been shitty, it's always gonna be shitty, why don't you play the shitty game and just do it? And that is, especially if you're an atheist, a valid fucking argument. It's always been a shitstorm of bullshit. It's always been crooked. You know, you're protesting against the crookedness does nothing except for maybe makes people who care for you uncomfortable. That is an argument. It's not a very good one, especially if you're a Christian, but it is an argument. And it's an argument that people use, especially right now. It's an argument you're going to use. Right up until the point you look at that dam and you see cracks going down it and water slowly trickling out of the cracks. And you say, well, but there's always been cracks, Dan. The dam has always been cracks. I heard a woman on National Public Radio and she said the dams have always had cracks, Dan. And that's how it is at the end, too. The level of gaslighting, the level of manipulation, the level of absurdity, and of, you know, bargaining, and people looking for any way out that doesn't involve some type of pain. That is what happens. And if you're saying, well, Dan, then you're saying it's going to be like the Great Depression. Or no, I feel as if all of our comparisons are invalid. To include the fictional ones that involve, like, Orwell's 1984. I don't think it's going to be the reset. I don't think it's going to be stagflation or hyperinflation. I think what's coming economically could best be compared to a Pontiac GTO going 130 miles per hour and hitting a brick wall. And I use that example over and over again because that's your soft landing. And the more they postpone it, the more kinetic energy goes into that inelastic collision. So even if they could postpone it another 5 years, another 10 years, what the net effect, the result, is going to be worse, not better. And I don't think they can. And I'm also not convinced that this is really about economics at this point. I mean, you know, I've told you what I think. I'm not going to scare you guys with more bullshit you don't need. I'm not going to guilt trip you because you get guilt tripped all the time. I will tell you something that I would hope my listeners understand. The only way, the only chance the human race has to survive on this planet or any planet or in space is through liberty, through having a free society. Once you start building prisons, you're basically preparing yourself for doom. That's it. And you can say, well, Dan, we have to put bad people in prison. Okay. And if we want to play pretend, we can. But tell me how that applies to the United States of America in my lifetime. The bad people go to jail. The good people go free. I think there's a lot of folks out there that would disagree. So this is where I'm at. I'm going to have to find a place to live, even if it means getting used to the possibility that what little I have is going to go to the dump and or get sold somehow and I will hit the streets. And then it's a question mark. Well, Dan, what will happen to your podcast? I don't truly know how I would podcast on the streets. I know people say, Dan, there's tons of successful homeless people who podcast. I wish I had the money to dig deeper into those stories, you know. But like the story of the welfare queen compared to my experiences at the food bank, I think there's a lot of bullshit out there. A lot of crap. A lot of people talking about filet mignon and not talking about the bag of apples that was from the orchard where they put a little bit too much of the pesticide on them. Yeah. So, no, I don't think it's going to be that easy to do that. If I end up there, and that's not a threat, why would it be a threat? That's simple reality. If you're saying to yourself, could this be the end of the podcast? Well, yeah, it could be, because really, I don't have any actual traction. If there is some type of shadow banning that occurs, it's fucking irrelevant. It doesn't matter. None of this is going to be changed. We're talking essentially about history. And the force of history. We're talking about an avalanche, an earthquake, a volcano, maybe, an event so big that a lot of people are simply going to be squashed. And the reality is, not all those people will be quote unquote bad people. But here's the deal. This week or next week, this month, in Syria someplace, a mom, a dad, a son, a daughter will be taken out by a U.S. military asset or a U.S. military mercenary or some type of force supported by the U.S. and perhaps with a drone. That daughter, that son, that brother, that sister, that husband, that wife, that mom or dad or any grandpa or grandma, family member, is going to get vaporized. And if your question is, oh, well, Dan, is that good? Is that right? That's history right now. It's despicable. But you tell me how you're going to remove U.S. forces from Syria. And if you don't have a plan other than voting, then you don't have a plan. So yeah, a lot of people are being ground to dust by history right now. And many more people, good people, quote unquote innocent people, will be ground to dust in the future. And if you're saying, is that good? Is that bad? Is there no God? Yeah, there's a God. Yep. And when we got kicked out of Eden, written in graffiti on the other side of the door so we could see it as we walked away, was F-A-F-O. Sure, there's a God. This is not Eden. This isn't a magical, whimsical place where you get to do stupid shit forever and nothing happens as a consequence. This is not that. You may want to believe it's that, but you've been deceived. This is not heaven. This is not Eden. This is not the kingdom. And it's also not hell. But it sure as shit is a land of consequences. A lot of hobos will be ground to dust. If I get ground to dust, I'll be in good company. A lot of kind, decent people have been and will continue to be ground to dust, and that's just history, and will be in good company. People are born and people die, and that is life. So, if you enjoy this podcast and you want to donate to it, you can donate to it, but please listen to the following disclosure first. Take care of your food, your water, your shelter. Take care of the people you love. There are probably people in your love who could use some help, and even with my current situation, maybe need help more than I do. So try to take care of those people in your life. It's not about quid pro quo. It's about kindness. If you've set aside food for yourself and your family, make sure you set aside extra food for your pet. You know, dog, cat, parrot, fish. But I'm going to say dogs mainly. Make sure you set aside some food for Fido too. Fido, and probably maybe the cat, but Fido will save your life. It's in him. It's in her. It's in your dog. So if you're thinking about yourself in terms of extra food, think about your pet. And also remember that this is not heaven. This is not Eden. This is not the kingdom, but it's also not hell. And this is still a place where there are good people. And this is still a place where good things can happen. And yeah, a lot of shit is crazy. And yes, it could get way fucking crazier. But that doesn't mean you still shouldn't try to live. Crazy times, sane times, calm, busy, stormy, placid, peaceful, and violent times. These are all the times. Times of turmoil, times of tempest, times of violent storm, and times so boring you wonder what it would be to live in a world where the crazy takes over. People are born, people die, people fall in love, people live their lives, and people find joy. So I would say, try to find some joy. Try to find some happiness. And these days, I call it the brief intermission. Try to find, in that time, things you can do. Maybe figure out people you haven't talked to. Maybe send an email. Maybe make a phone call. But try to find some joy. And if you've done all these things, and you've found yourself a hooker named Joy, and you still have hooker cocaine, gold, silver style money left over that you can give to a crazy freak in quadrant 75 alpha. Yes, I'll build my Dyson starship, but I'll invite you along. Well, you won't have a choice. Being that you're part of the solar mass, being that you're on one of the planets. And yeah, Pluto, you don't get out just because you're a planet or not a planet. No, but anywho, if you have the money and you want to donate to this podcast, you can. I could definitely need that. I could definitely use the help. I don't have a great plan at this point of what I'm going to do next. One of the scenarios I imagine is maybe just getting dropped off in the woods and living up in the woods until a park ranger comes by. And then it's life or death or the park ranger, and you just got to do what you got to do. I mean, those little signs that the BLM says, the Bureau of Land Management, these are your public lands, those signs are ironic. So, yeah. For Thursday, June the 22nd, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc, it's just after 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Scompton. And I know many of you are enjoying the beauty of the nighttime morning. That makes no sense. Anyways, enjoy your Thursday. Enjoy the fact that tomorrow is Friday. And if you have a regular job where Friday is meaningful, go out and, you know, think about what you're going to do this weekend. Have some fun. Go have a party someplace. Go fishing. Go rafting. Go hang gliding. Why don't you go to that book fair? Why don't you take that girl or guy from work named Shanda? Maybe they'll pick you up in the Tesla and you'll get to recharge on your way there, if you know what I mean. Have a great Thursday.